Why don't we stand as we start tonight? We're going to start with number 198. Wonderful Grace of Jesus, number 198. Let's stand and we'll sing all three verses.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled. By its transforming power, making Him God's most child. Purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
You may be seated, and we'll take some requests. 504, all right, 504. All right, we'll sing both verses, 504.
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I And all the joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Good. What else would you like to sing?
87.
87? All right. Let's do 1, 5, and 6. Number 87.
When morning gilds the skies, my heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised. Sing suns and stars of space, sing ye that see His face. May Jesus Christ be praised. God's whole creation o'er, for aye and evermore, may Jesus Christ be praised. Be this while life is mine, my canticle divine, may Jesus Christ be praised. Be this the eternal song through all the ages long. May Jesus Christ be praised.
Good.
67?
The love of God. Good. We'll do the first and last verse of 67.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' songs.
All right, and if you'll stand, we'll do that one next week. Let's stand. We're going to do 278. We'll do the first and last verses. Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, number 278.
Glorious things of Thee are spoken, Zion City of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed Thee for His own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake Thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, Thou mayest smile at all Thy foes. Round each habitation hovering, see the cloud and fire appear, for a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near. Thus deriving from their banner light by night and shade by day, safe they feed upon the manna which He gives them when they
thank you. You may be seated.
Well, good evening. It's good to be back from the land of fruit and nuts, and also from a place of really good spiritual nourishment and encouragement. It was our pleasure, Chris King and I and Dale Gupton, to be able to go to a conference this past week. And just enjoy some great teaching and great fellowship with other men who are committed to biblical ministry. And thank you for letting us get away and just be refreshed by that. It really was a rich, rich time. We always come back just amazed at how great a church home we have, to be able to come back here and know that we have a place of ministry where God's Word is so honored and Christ is exalted and people love each other and love their pastors. And so it's just really a blessing. Thank you. And it's always good to be able to go and know that you're in good hands. So many gifted men that God has given to us here. I know you were blessed this morning by the message Pastor Steve brought, and I know I was, very encouraging, and so thankful for his ministry to us this morning. Look forward tonight to the ministry of Pastor John as he brings God's Word to us. And just thank you to both of you, man, for your ministries to us. Before he comes, though, we have a few minutes. If any of you have a word of praise or a prayer request or testimony, this is a time in the life of our church when we have opportunity to do that. So if anyone has something they'd like to share, let's hear from you. Anybody? Yes. Alvin. Uh-huh. Thank you. Good. Anybody else? Hi, Paul. Okay, Margaret. Thank you, Paul. Okay, anything else? Anybody? Love thy neighbor. I don't think it means that, but it's good to know he can do it, right? Good. That's good, Jerry. That's a practical, that's one of those areas where you go, oh, that's what it means to love my neighbor. Yeah. Good. Anybody else? Sue. Cindy. Okay. Hmm. You say it was her son? She lost him.
Pastor Carol, I asked
cousin? Your cousin. Okay. All right, what else? Anybody? Well, it's good to see you all here, especially you guys, right there. Pastor John, you're going to love having them right there. Well, let's pray together, shall we? Father, it is a joy to be together again tonight, to be your people and to enjoy the fellowship that we have with each other, and to know that we have a home, we are family and cared for and loved, and just to be your children, Lord, where you are the father of this household and you love each of us and care for us, and you know our needs, and you're so faithful and gracious to minister to us and meet our needs. We thank you for that. We just praise you for your goodness and grace in our lives, and for the many ways that you manifest that day in and day out, and thank you for your faithfulness, Father. We do pray tonight for Bill and Nancy's son, Alvin. Don't know the details, but you do, and we just pray that you would do your work there and be gracious. Give them wisdom and strength as well. And thank you for the opportunity the Gideons have had this past week, and Paul and Barbara, and we pray for Margaret in the nursing home, and we just ask for your mercy in her life, and particularly, Lord, that if she doesn't know you, you would draw her to Christ. You'd use your word to minister to her and the people that do know you there to share with her. Thank you for just the practical ways. Jerry is learning to love his neighbor, and pray that would be just a bridge to more opportunities to serve and to share the love of Christ there. But thank you for your love, which you shed abroad in our hearts, that enables us to love those that are sometimes difficult. We know that's your grace at work in us, so thank you for that. We do pray for the lady Sue mentioned, Cindy, in the loss of her son, that you would comfort her, and more than that, Lord, that you would use your word to draw her to Christ, to see her own need of salvation, and to see her own sin, that her sin too requires, deserves death, and that the only escape from separation from you is salvation in Christ. So we pray you would be gracious there, and just providentially continue to bring other people into her life that could speak the truth in love and minister to her. Thank you for Sue's sensitivity and the opportunity that you've given her. And Lord, for Glenn and Harold's cousin in Tulsa, we pray for strength, for healing, and comfort for this gal as she goes through leukemia. Minister to her and family, and give wisdom to those caring for her. Thank you, Father. You are the great physician. You care for not only our bodies, but our souls. And for that, we are grateful. And thank you tonight that we can gather in your name to worship you and to hear your word preached. We pray that you would give us now just real humble, teachable hearts, ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to the churches, to this church, to each of us individually, and that we might be, our minds might be renewed and our lives transformed as we are conformed more and more to the image of Christ. Do your sanctifying work in us, and bless Pastor John as he comes. We pray this now in Christ's name. Amen.
This is a first for me. I've been here 20-some years, and I think it's the first time we ever had five people in the front row. Just amazing. So, It is good to see you right there. I want to just sort of almost like a word of personal testimony tonight, but maybe it'll fit your life as well as mine. For those of you who know anything about me, you know my life goes up and down like a yo-yo. Highs and lows, and grapple with how do you get through hard times, how do you get through good times, and just goes on and on. So just something that I've discovered over the last years, a verse that I keep coming back to. It's sort of a fixation almost. It's right on my desk. I see it on my wall every time I lift my head, and it just seems to fit me, and so I'll just talk our way through it tonight and trust that it might fit you. Now, I've already spoken on it three times over the years, so some of you have it memorized, and you can just correct me after it, say you didn't say that at the same time, but, you know, anyway. But it has to do with hope. In Pastor Brad's series in Luke, he's in Luke 9 and 10 now, and he's been talking about discipleship. And as the old song goes, when you listen to his messages, it's not an easy road we are traveling to heaven as disciples. I think a week ago or so when he was speaking, he said something about we're called to a hard life. And we're given a hard message. And sometimes it results in a very hard reception, which might even result in persecution. I think all these things were wrapped up in his last message. And the hardness of being a disciple. And understand, I don't think there's anybody there's not many, if any, in the United States or especially in Springdale who are suffering for being a Christian. There are people in the Mideast, people in the Far East, people in continent of Africa that are really suffering. But nevertheless, as Christians, we live in enemy territory. This world is not a friendly place, even though it might be at times a good place to be. Don't know where else to be, by the way, so we're here. But to be faithful, to be true to the Lord, sometimes can be hard, and just you can fit in whatever you want with the word hard, but things like can be tiring, it's just ongoing, can be weakening, and it can be discouraging, can be hurting sometimes. Things come into your life. Sometimes they're self-inflicted, sometimes they just blindside you and they hurt. Sometimes there's sorrow. There's all sorts of things that come in. And they make life difficult. And the question I wrestle with in these down times when these things come in is, what keeps us going? What keeps me going? And sometimes just looking out east and seeing the sunrise and knowing that the Lord's faithful isn't quite enough. It just doesn't lift you up out of the low spot. And so tonight I want to just share with you how the verse that keeps me going, or at least I grab onto and hang onto, to give me hope. Because I think that hope is what keeps Christians going, at least in some ways. Now we have hope in the future. We certainly have hope, and we'll talk about that a little bit. It's coming, guaranteed. And we do have a future hope. But the problem with the hope in the future is that, barring unforeseen events, barring the intervention of the Lord, when I go to bed tomorrow or tonight and wake up tomorrow morning, it's not going to be the far-off future. It's just going to be Monday. And the day after that will probably be Tuesday again, unless the Lord intervenes. And so we need something that is not just then, but right now. We need what keeps us in hoping now. What gives me hope for maybe tomorrow not heaven by and by. And I'm not obviously minimizing heaven, but something to hold on to that says there's hope. And no matter what it is now, the next now can be very good. And we have that hope. And we're not going to gloss over problems. I try not to do that, not gloss over problems. But sometimes in not glossing over problems, we gloss over encouragement. We forget that there is encouragement. And so we want to talk and focus in not on problems, but on encouragement tonight that would lead us to hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, just briefly if you would. You need to know these verses. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter's writing to people who are scattered throughout the territory of Asia Minor, be modern-day Turkey, and chosen according to the foreknowledge of God by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ, sprinkled with his blood. But here's the verses. We're not going to spend any time on this, but this is our far-off hope. This is our far-off hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And we do know, no matter what we're in today, we do know our ultimate end. It's guaranteed by God. It's reserved. We are protected for it. It's a living hope. It's heaven. It's glory. It is certain. And after everything, after all is done, then we have that hope, see. And sometimes that's good. That to know that after all is over, then we have that hope. But as I said, we're not living in the after all. We're living in the just right now and the after, not the after all, just the after. And yet we need to have something that will give us hope right now, see. And the verses that I have focused in on and just I cling to these verses and just, anyway, verses chapter 5, 9 and 10 of 1 Peter. And they're written to people who are suffering, and again, put suffering in whatever category you want. And they're written to people who have an adversary, the devil, who does his best to devour us. And he goes around seeking to devour us and just making life very, very difficult. And Peter says he's writing to these kind of people. And he comes up with this interesting verse in verse 10, chapter 5, verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And for those of you who have your Greek testaments tonight, you know that that's not the only way to translate that verse, because in the Greek it starts out with, but God, see, but God. That's the first two words there, but God, and then the rest of the verse. And it's a good place to start, see, not just after you've suffered a while, but God, see. And so our thoughts immediately turn to God when we read this verse. And it's not just God, it's God of all grace. See? And we think of God as a gracious God, and we think of his just as a characteristic. And that's not what this verse is talking about, that he's a gracious God. I mean, he is. And he deals with us graciously and bountifully and freely. But what this verse is talking about is the God of all grace. Grace being something given to you freely for a particular situation. See? the God of all grace. He gave you grace for salvation. Titus 2:11. When the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation. See, the grace of God appeared. We always think of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Paul says in Titus, when the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation. And Ephesians chapter 2, my second favorite passage. God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we are dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. See? The God of all grace, that's the one who's doing something in this verse. After a period of suffering, whatever hardship, difficulties, whatever they may be, the God of all grace intervenes. Grace for salvation. When you're saved, maybe in a body such as this, a special grace, he's the God of all grace in giving gifts. And we've missed a little bit on that by talking about spiritual gifts. And if you really want to get down to it, they're not spiritual gifts. They're spiritual matters, but the gifts are the charismata, the grace things. See, they're grace gifts. Now, granted, they're given by the Holy Spirit, but we lose the effect of it by calling them spiritual gifts when we really ought to be talking about their grace gifts. The God of all grace. And so, saves us, he enables us to serve. But here, in this thing, in this passage, God of all grace for specific situations, maybe. We have that verse in Hebrews chapter 4 that says, let's approach the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. When there's a special need, we go to the throne to get grace. See? A grace, whatever the grace is, whatever is needed, we get that from the throne. He's the God of all grace. And he's going to do something. Now, we talked about our future. He's the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory in Christ, and that's what I have, see. He called me to be with him forever. His desire, his purpose, his plan for me, when he called me, he set me out to be with him, and that's reserved. We read that in the first part of chapter 1, see. And I really will be with him because that's what he called me to. He called me to his glory in Christ Jesus. And so I have that future. See, I have that future. And the God of all grace is guaranteed. And if you really want to read a little bit more about it, just when you don't have anything to do this week, read John chapter 6 and John chapter 10 and Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1. And then you can fill in the blanks if you missed some spots. Just read about what God has done to call you to his eternal glory in Christ, see? But as I said, that's my future. What about my Monday? See? What about my Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, see? Because that's after everything. I live right now, see. And I ask myself the question, is my hope as a Christian only for then, see? Is that all I have? And the answer in 5:10 is no, there's much more. After I have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called me to his eternal glory in Christ will himself do something. Now, isn't that interesting? I don't expect an angel to come. I don't expect a ministering spirit to come. I don't expect somebody to come. I don't expect a representative of God to come. God himself. Did you ever think about that? The God of all grace who has this future for me will himself do something for me. See, he'll take care of me. He will perfect me. And this word for perfect is a word to put in order, to fix something that has been broken. It's to put something back in proper condition that doesn't work right. It's the word that's used when the Lord saw James and John on the seaside mending their nets. The nets had been torn in their fishing, and they're mending them to put them back in order again so that they can be used. And the God of all grace who called me to his eternal glory in Christ will himself put me back in order. See. Whatever life, and I just put quotes around, whatever life has broken, see, whatever life has put out of order, whatever life has made non-functional, see, he himself will put it back in order. That's hope. See. And he himself will confirm me. And this word confirm is a word that means to set up, to fix firmly in place, to support. Maybe you're building something and you have some beams and you fix them firmly in place so that they don't move. See? And the thought being that whatever this suffering, whatever life has done to make me unstable, to make me shaken, to make me waver just a little bit, maybe, he himself will come and make me stable, make me strong, make me fixed and firm. See? And he'll strengthen me. See? And that means just make me strong. And whatever life has worn out and worn down and made me weak, see, he'll make strong. He'll make strong. And he'll establish me. And that word has to do with putting a foundation in my life. And it's just like things come into your life that just pull the rug out from under you, and your foundation's gone, and you say, "My God, what am I going to do now? Because my whole life has just disappeared." See? And he'll establish me himself. He'll establish me, put a foundation back in my life, see, so I can stand on something. See. And not just in eternity, see, but after a little while, that's all, see. It's not after all, it's just after now. See. And this is not, you know, you can't delude yourself, say, well, this is pie in the sky, and this is just wishful thinking, and this is the power of positive thinking and whistling in the dark, and you know the song, "Whenever I Feel Afraid, I, you know, hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune and no one will suspect I'm afraid." It's not that kind of a thing at all. It's truth, see. And it makes sense that he would do that for me when you stop and think about it, because he called me to his glory. And it makes sense that he's not going to let me be destroyed down here, but that he will work in my life to perfect me and to confirm me and to strengthen me and to establish me and make me fit for after it's all over, see. And so my life becomes one, not like a roller coaster, ups and downs, but one after. That's all. After this, and after this, and after this, and after this. See? And today is after yesterday, and tomorrow will be after today, and Tuesday will be after Monday, and that's life. After this for a little while, the God of all grace who called me to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect and confirm and strengthen and establish me, see. And God guarantees it because he's going to do it himself. And so that's what gives me, at least for me, keeps me going, gives me hope. And so I'm not waiting for necessarily, I am looking forward to heaven. But what I'm really waiting for is after. See. And it will come, see. And so as we get into these times of life, and whether they're affliction, physical affliction or emotional, or just temptation, or just the wearing out of being alive, and whatever, however it all happens, and maybe active persecution, there's an after to it. And there's another after, and there's another after, and another after. And my life becomes a series of God himself perfecting and confirming and strengthening and establishing me, just to get me from this day to the next, to glory, because he's called me there. Sort of a paraphrase of that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul says, "The momentary light afflictions are working an eternal weight of glory." See? And in the meantime, the momentary light afflictions are followed by after, when the Lord God himself deals with me and strengthens me and sets me up again. And so we go from momentary light afflictions to an after, and that's our life till then. So that's what keeps people going, I think. That whatever we are in, you, I, individually, the difficulties, the hard times, the trials, tribulations, whatever, see. We understand that there's an after, and it will be very good, because it's God himself who will work it for us and will be perfect and confirmed and strengthened and established. And that'll keep on day by day by day by day until we get to the inheritance to which he's called us. And for somebody that the best they can do is just say, well, I hope it's going to get better. It can't get any worse. You know, that's not much of a philosophy. Hope is not, it's not much hope to say, well, it can't get any worse than this. That's pretty shallow. But to say that God himself will do this for me, that's what we look forward to. And that's the basis on a day-by-day basis on which we live. And it's great to have that hope, because we know God through Jesus Christ. I'd like us to sing a song of the after. And most of you know, it's number 538, one of my favorite songs. We've sung it here before. But just read these, listen to these words, and then we'll sing all three verses of 538. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear, wipe my weeping eyes. Should earth against my soul engage and fiery darts be hurled, then I can smile at Satan's rage and face a frowning world. Let cares like a wild deluge come, storms of sorrow fall. May I but safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my all. It's a good song, and it fits the verse, and means a lot to me. I trust it's the same to you. Stand, please. We'll sing all three verses, 538.
When I can read my title clear, I'll bid farewell.
Father, we thank you that we have that hope, the inheritance guaranteed by you, protected by you. You have called us to your glory in Christ. We thank you for that. But Father, I thank you that even day by day, week by week, whatever the period of time, there are those times when you yourself confirm, you perfect, strengthen, establish us. Thank you for that promise as well, that we can live day by day as your people. Thank you for that hope as well. Father, just bless us. Cause us to be people who live on the basis of our hope in Christ and in you. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for this time tonight, for these who are here. And you know the situations we find ourselves in. Just pray that you would bless in appropriate ways. May they know your comfort and your hope. And bless our time of fellowship as well after this. May it be good. May it be honoring to you and be strengthening to us, we pray in your name. Amen.